So this morning we're going to be carrying on with the practices from the Satipatthana Sutta. Now, I said this already, but it's worth repeating. As the retreat goes on, we'll be offering more and more practices. And at a certain point, which will vary from person to person, it will start to feel like a lot. That's because it's a lot. There's a lot of practices in this discourse. Now, like I said, I think possibly yesterday, we want you to do some insight. It keeps you grounded. It's a good thing to do. 100% concentration practice is not a good thing. It's very one-sided. It can, lead us into difficulties. So please do some insight. If your focus right now is on learning deepening jhanas, then by all means, spend the vast bulk of your practice time doing samadhi, but please do some insight. We've asked you to do the 5 daily reflections once a day, and today's practice as well is, another good one to do each day. But we're going to keep offering different ones as the days go on. Why do we do that? Why not just give you the one perfect insight practice that's best? Well, there's a problem with that. There is no one-size-fits-all practice. If there were, we'd have taught that on the first night and we'd be done already. So, like I said before, the best insight practice is the one that you want to do. It's not so much about pretending to be interested in investigating something. It's about finding something that you actually want to investigate, something that you think, yeah, that is kind of interesting, actually. Practice will work a lot better if you actually want to do it. So think of this retreat as a kind of all-you-can-eat buffet. Right. There's lots of different things you can try. Find a couple that you like and fill your plate. Don't try to eat the whole buffet, it will give you indigestion. So we're going to keep throwing stuff out and see what sticks. And I think overall it's probably a little bit nicer than the Zen way, where we just give you one practice and then we hit you with sticks. So that said, let's get on with the Satipatthana Sutta now. So the next practice in the discourse is the parts of the body. And for people who are interested to know which are the quote-unquote original practices, this is one of the original ones. And here's how it goes. Again, one reviews the same body, up from the soles of the feet and down from the top of the hair, enclosed by skin, as full of many kinds of impurity, thus. In this body, there are head hairs, body hairs, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, sinews, bones, bone marrow, kidneys, heart, liver, diaphragm, spleen, lungs, bowels, mesentery, contents of the stomach, feces, bile, phlegm, pus, blood, sweat, fat, tears, grease, spittle, snot, oil of the joints, and urine. Parts of the body. And as you may have noticed, this kind of lingers on the icky bits, right? Leah said something about this already. Where this practice is coming from is the idea that we spend a lot of the time, as Ajahn Sumedho puts it, exploiting our bodies for pleasure. Right? Our bodies can be a source of lots of pleasure. We can think very highly of them. We can put a lot of time and effort into trying to keep them nice and make them attractive to people and looking in the mirror and being very impressed with how amazing our bodies are. And so this practice is designed to give us a more neutral, balanced view of the body by pointing out that, it might look particularly shapely when viewed from certain angles. There are also other bits that, maybe not so appealing. But the flip side is that a lot of us actually don't have a really positive relationship with our body. And if we already have a negative view of our body, then the way to balance it out is to find positive aspects in what's going on, not to focus on the unpleasant bits and make us even more aversive to what's going on. So we're trying to balance unhealthy attachments to the body, whether those are positive or negative. The body is ultimately neither good nor bad. It just is what it is. We need to take care of it. It's probably better if we aren't slaves to it. It's good to find a balanced, even-handed relationship to the body. Something else that's worth pointing out is, because it's a theme that we'll see in subsequent practices as well, is that this is an exercise in deconstruction. The body here goes from being one to being many. We start with the body, and then we start looking at its parts. There are head hairs and body hairs and nails and teeth and skin and so on and so forth. So rather than looking at the body as being one unitary thing, we start to look at it in terms of the different factors that make it up, the different aspects of the body, the different parts of the body. And as we do that, of course, we may notice the impermanent nature of the body, the process nature of the body. Bits of it are growing, bits of it are falling off all the time. You know, that's what dust is, right? I was not happy when I discovered what dust was. You clip your nails and you see your nails, you know, in the bin, and you don't think, oh no, I've lost an essential part of myself. Once you clip them off, the nails cease to be part of you. But there are probably other bits of yourself that if they were clipped off, yeah, that would be a much bigger deal. So the body has all of these parts and we have different relationships to them, and at different times we view the body in different ways. So part of this practice is about really exploring that, exploring our relationship to our body, to its constituents, to our sense of what's going on there. And to help us get the picture for what this practice is about, the Buddha gives us a simile. Just as though there were a bag with an opening at both ends, full of many sorts of grain, such as hill rice, red rice, beans, peas, millet, and white rice, and someone with good eyes were to open it and review it thus. This is hill rice, this is red rice, these are beans, these are peas, this is millet, this is white rice. So too one reviews this same body. And then we get the same thing again about this is the body with head hairs and body hairs and so forth. So there's an image here, right? There's a big bag and it's full of lots of different things, and there's an opening at both ends. And the body's kind of like that, right? There's this skin bag and it's got all sorts of different things in it, and there's openings in various places. Now, when I first heard the simile, I thought, well, that's a daft design for a bag full of grain. Why would you have an opening at both ends? Surely stuff's just going to fall out of the bottom hole. Turns out this was actually a thing in the time of the Buddha. It was a tool for sowing grain. You put your grains in the top, and then as you walk along your field, the grains come out the bottom. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. Agriculture in the time of the Buddha. Anyway, getting back to the practice. So there's a bunch of different ways that we can investigate and explore the body. One is to use the practice exactly as it's given. Contemplate the parts of the body and just, yeah, think about it. Examine the various bits and pieces going on. One possible drawback with that is that there's a certain amount of imagination involved. I don't know about you, but I can't say I'm terribly aware of my spleen right now, for example. So if I start trying to contemplate my spleen, there's a certain amount of imagination going on. That isn't necessarily an issue, but particularly for those of us who prefer a meditation practice that's more grounded in direct experience, that's kind of less potentially up in the world of thoughts and more in terms of what we can actually smell, taste, and touch right now, it can be helpful to have practices which do focus more on that concrete, immediate sensory experience. And so a body-based practice which works with the concrete sensory experience is the body scan. Now, most people are probably familiar with this. It seems to have been developed in Burma and then in recent times picked up by Jon Kabat-Zinn, incorporated into mindfulness-based stress reduction, and it's just gone everywhere since then. You also find it in practices like yoga nidra and so forth. In the unlikely event that you haven't done a body scan before, the way it works is that you move slowly around the body, going one part at a time. And the way Lee's going to guide it will be focusing the attention on a small area of the body, about the size of maybe a 10p piece for those of you who are in the UK, or, you know, a medium-sized coin for the Americans. And we'll be kind of moving this little patch of awareness over the surface of the body and just feeling what's going on. The important part to do the body scan is it's not about thinking about your body. It's not about visualizing your body. It's about feeling what's going on in the body. As the great Zen master Bruce Lee put it, don't think, feel. We're trying to connect with what's going on in the body. There may be parts of the body where you don't feel anything. The body scan that Lee's going to do starts at the top of the head, and for a lot of people, actually, the top of the head is not that sensitive. That's fine. If you have no sensation in a part of the body, that is your experience right now. We're not trying to create a particular experience in the body. We're not trying to change anything. We're trying to see what's there as we move our attention over the body. And so, yeah, if you don't feel anything, you don't feel anything. There is no one international standard route for doing the body scan. Different teachers have different approaches. Many of you have trained with Lee before, and so rather than me guide it, because I go a different route to Lee, and people don't like that sometimes, I'm going to play a recording of Lee doing his version of the body scan. After the session, I'll post a link to the MP3 of Lee doing the guiding, and also a link to a page on Lee's website, which has a written list of the order that he goes around the body. So you can print that out or read that or whatever. So you've got the audio and you've got a written version of the map. Equally, if you have your own route around the body, then it's fine to use that as well. The main thing is how long it takes, and we'll talk a bit about that later on. But that's the basic idea. We have the body scan, we start somewhere on the body, and we move our way slowly over the surface of the body, trying to cover the whole thing, basically. Now, just like every other practice in this discourse, we also have a refrain. And it's the standard one. In this way, in regard to the body, one abides contemplating the body internally, externally, and both internally and externally. One abides contemplating the nature of arising, passing away, and arising and passing away in the body. Mindfulness that there is a body is established in oneself to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and continuous mindfulness. And one abides independent, not clinging to anything in the world. That, too, is how, in regard to the body, one abides contemplating the body. So we have internally, externally, and both. And yeah, we can look at this as what's going on the surface, what's going on deeper down in the body, and both. Or we can look at it in terms of mindfulness of the components of our own body, mindfulness of the components of other bodies, and the awareness that, again, this is a shared characteristic. The various parts that make up our bodies may be slightly different shapes, different colors, in different conditions. Some of us might have a few more or less than each other, that kind of thing. A little bit more hair, maybe, something like that. But fundamentally, we all have bodies. We're all tied to this physical existence. So once again, this has a way of potentially chipping away at our sense of our own personal uniqueness and specialness. Then there's the impermanence of the body. And we've already talked about this a little bit over time in terms of the five daily reflections, right? Growing old, getting sick, ultimately dying. In the body scan, we can see impermanence on a moment-to-moment level. As we're focusing on the sensations of, you know, somewhere in the upper arm, let's say, is it staying the same? Might be, but probably not. So the way to go wrong with this practice is to sort of, when you get to a new part of the body, just briefly check in and say, yep, okay, I can feel my upper left arm, fine. And then you kind of switch off and your mind goes back to wandering. And then a few seconds later, you get another instruction and you sort of tick off the next part of the body. And then you go back to mind wandering. That's not so useful. Partly it's more mind wandering than not, so it's not that good either for concentration or for insight. And partly you're missing out on the opportunity to observe the changes in the body sensations. If you really stay with what's going on in each part of the body for several seconds at a time, then you really start to see that there isn't very much stable or solid here. Again, don't take my word for it. Check it out for yourself. If impermanence is not your particular cup of tea, then of course we can also investigate the other three characteristics. I'm stepping slightly outside the refrain now, but it's just interesting to notice. We can investigate dukkha. Is the body a reliable source of satisfaction? Let's suppose you're sitting comfortably right now and you stay sitting that way, sitting comfortably. How long is it before it ceases to be quite so comfortable, before the body starts to get a bit bored and fed up of sitting? So then you stand up and start moving around, and that feels really good, but then after a while you start to feel tired. And now the body wants to stop moving again. The damn thing's never happy. So yeah, is the body a reliable source of satisfaction? And then when it comes to the non-self, the anatta practice, as we're examining the body, as we're moving from part to part of the body, examining it, there can be a question about the subject and the object in this practice. We're objectifying every bit of our physical self, right? We're looking at, we're feeling into each part of the body in turn. So if the body is the object, then who's the subject? Who or what is aware of the sensations? What's going on there? Coming back to the refrain, we have the mindfulness sufficient for bare knowledge. And again, I talked about this in terms of, wherever possible, staying with the sensations, the nature of experience rather than the content. Potentially doing the body scan may trigger some things to come up. You know, emotions may come up, various things. If we can just be aware of that stuff and let it come and let it go, then that's fine. If we're finding ourselves partway through the body scan thinking, gosh, I really need to lose some weight, maybe after this retreat I'll... Yeah, now you're drifting into content and you're straying off the practice. So if you find yourself there, then yeah, just come back to the body sensations. And I've already mentioned the continuous mindfulness. Don't just turn it into a box-ticking exercise. Yep, still got a left arm, now I can think about something more interesting for 10 minutes until he gets off the left arm. That's not really that helpful. So I've been presenting the body scan as an insight practice. Like Lee said on the first evening, it can also be used for samadhi, for developing access concentration. The key is the intention that we're bringing to the practice, just like with the breath. If we're interested in settling, stabilizing the mind, building focus, then the primary aspect is maintaining that continuity of awareness. Really, it's not one-pointed because we're moving all around the body, but maintaining the continuity of the awareness of the body as much as possible, that will help to build that concentration. And you may well find that by the time you get to the end of the body scan, you're not really getting distracted anymore. You've come to that place of access concentration. If you're interested in using this to concentrate the mind and you're doing it yourself, move slowly. If you move too quickly, it's too stimulating. It disturbs the concentration. Move slowly. It keeps things calm and settled. And it's a good way to get into access concentration. If you're using it as an insight practice, then it's more about exploring and investigating and seeing what's really going on. So that's quite enough preamble. And so now I'm going to hand over to Lee from the past, who will do a guided body scan for us. So if you'd like to set yourself up in your meditation posture while I figure out the sharing of audio through Zoom. And then we'll kick off and take away. Here we go.
So that's what I'm going to do now, is a guided sweeping practice. What we're going to do is go over the surface of the body and cover every square inch, simply noticing whatever sensations you notice in each place. We'll start with the top of the head. That's the spot that used to be a soft spot when you were a baby. It's a few finger widths back from your hairline, assuming you still have a hairline. All right. And then there's the crown of the head, which is the circle back at the back where you're hair goes in a circle, if it still goes that way. All right? And I think everything else will be pretty obvious. So in order to begin, please put your attention on your breath for a few moments. Now drop the attention on your breath and put your full attention on the top of your head. Place it with a soft spot when you were a baby and notice any sensation that you can notice there. Itching, tingling, pressure, warmth, coolness. Just simply notice whatever sensation is noticeable. Now slowly move your attention back along the center line of your head towards the crown and notice any sensation you encounter as you move your attention along the center line of the skull. When you reach the crown of the head, examine it for sensations. And now begin moving your attention over the right half of the skull, from the back to the front, from the center line down to the hairline. Just noticing whatever you can find on the right half of the skull to notice. Itching, warmth, pressure, coolness, whatever's there, simply notice it, let it go, and continue examining the right half of your skull. When you finish with the right half of your skull, examine the left half. From back to front, from center line down to hairline, noticing whatever sensations are noticeable. Put your attention on your forehead and examine it for sensations. Shift your attention to your right temple and notice whatever you can notice in that area. Now examine the right eye, the eyeball, the socket, the lid, all around, just noticing whatever is noticeable. Slide your attention across the bridge of your nose over to the left eye and examine it for sensations. The eyeball, the socket, and all around. Move your attention to the left temple and examine it for sensations. Put your attention back on the bridge of your nose and then move your attention down all the way to the nostrils, noticing what you can. When you get to the nostrils, you'll probably notice the air coming in and out. See how far up into the nostrils you can pick up sensations. Examine the area between your nose and your upper lip. See what sensations you can notice there. Perhaps you can feel the exhale, the air moving there. Move your attention to the right cheek, and then from there, spread your attention over the right half of the face, from the cheek down to the jawline and around to the ear, just noticing whatever you can. When you reach the right ear, examine it. Back, the front, all those little folds and as far down the ear canal as you can sense. When you finish with the right ear, put your attention on your left cheek and then examine the left half of the face. From the cheek down to the jawline and around to the ear. When you reach the ear, examine it back, front, all the folds, and as far down the ear canal as you can sense. Put your attention on your lips. Notice them touching. You might notice other things. Warmth, coolness, moisture in some places, dryness in others. Now go inside your mouth and examine it for sensations. The gums inside and out, the cheeks on the inside, the roof of your mouth, the floor of the mouth, all around in there. Just notice whatever you can. Be sure and get both sides of the tongue. When you're finished examining your mouth, bring your attention out and to your chin. And then start moving your attention from your chin along the jawline on both sides, all the way back to your neck, noticing what you can. Move your attention down the front of your neck, from the jaw all the way down to the top of the breastbone. Just noticing what's there. Examine the back of your neck for sensations, from the hairline down to the shoulders. You might be able to notice the transition from where your neck is exposed to where your clothes are touching. You might notice other things as well. Move your attention along your right shoulder from the neck out to the shoulder joint, noticing anything you can. When you reach the shoulder joint, examine it for sensations. And then begin moving your attention down the upper part of the right arm, from the shoulder to the elbow, just noticing what you can. When you reach the elbow, examine it for sensations. And then move on down the lower part of the right arm, from the elbow to the wrist, noticing anything you can. When you reach the wrist, examine it for sensations. Then move your attention over the back of the right hand, from the wrist out to where the fingers join. Examine the palm of your hand. Now, starting with the little finger and working your way around to your thumb, examine each finger in turn from base to tip, noticing whatever is noticeable. There might be touch sensations, warmth, coolness, whatever is there, simply notice it, let it go, move on. When you finish with the fingers, put your full attention in the tips of those fingers, and then sweep your attention out into the room and bring it to rest on the left shoulder. Now examine the left shoulder for sensations from the neck out to the shoulder joint. When you reach the shoulder joint, examine it for sensations. And then begin moving your attention down the left arm from the shoulder to the elbow, noticing whatever you can. When you reach the elbow, examine it for sensations. And then move your attention down the lower part of the left arm, from the elbow to the wrist, noticing whatever is noticeable. When you reach the wrist, examine it for sensations. Now move your attention over the back of the left hand from the wrist out to where the fingers join. Examine the palm of the left hand for sensations. Now, starting with the little finger and working your way around to your thumb, examine each finger in turn from base to tip, noticing anything you can notice. You finish with the fingers, put your full attention in the tips of those fingers and sweep your attention out into the room and bring it to rest on the right shoulder. Now move your attention down over the right front part of the chest from the shoulder down to the bottom of the rib cage, from the breastbone around to the side. Examining that whole area for sensations. Itching, tingling, touch sensations, or perhaps some emotion might come up. Just whatever's there, notice it, let it go, move on. When you finish with the right half of the chest, put your attention on your left shoulder and then examine the left half of the chest from the shoulder to the bottom of the rib cage, from the breastbone around to the side. When you finish with the left half of your chest, put your attention again on the right shoulder and then move your attention down your back from the right shoulder to the bottom of the rib cage and the spine around to the side. When you finish with the right half of your back, put your attention on your left shoulder. And then begin examining the left half of your back from the shoulder to the bottom of the rib cage, from the spine around to the side. examine the area between the bottom of the rib cage and the top of the pelvis in the back on both sides. And then move your attention around your sides and across your belly up into the solar plexus at the bottom of the breastbone. Then move your attention down from the solar plexus across the belly all the way down to the groin. You might notice your belly moving as you breathe. You might notice other things as well. Notice the area around your sits bones. Feel the pressure of sitting. Now examine the whole of the right buttock, from the sits bones all the way up to the lower part of the back. Then examine the left buttock and the sits bones again, all the way up to the lower part of the back. Put your full attention in your right hip. And then begin examining the right thigh from the hip to the knee, noticing anything you can notice. Itching, tingling, warmth, coolness, touch sensations, whatever's there, simply notice it, let it go, move on. When you reach the knee, examine it for sensations. And then move your attention on down from the knee to the ankle, noticing whatever you can. When you reach the ankle, examine it for sensations. And move your attention over the top of the right foot from the ankle out to where the toes join. Examine the sides of the right foot. And the area around the Achilles tendon. And the heel of the right foot. Now move your attention along the sole of the right foot out to where the toes join. Starting with the little toe and working your way around to the big toe, examine each toe in turn from base to tip, noticing whatever you can. When you finish with the toes, put your full attention in the tips of those toes and sweep your attention out into the room and bring it to rest in your left hip. After examining the left hip for sensations, then begin moving your attention down your left thigh. From the hip down to the knee, noticing whatever you can. When you reach the knee, examine it for sensations. Move your attention from the knee down to the ankle, noticing what you can along the way. When you reach the ankle, examine it for sensations. And then move your attention from your ankle over the top of the left foot out to where the toes join. Examine the sides of the left foot. And the area around the Achilles tendon. And the heel. And then move your attention along the sole of the left foot from the heel out to where the toes join. Starting with the little toe and working your way around to the big toe, examine each toe in turn from base to tip, noticing whatever you can notice. Put your full attention in the tips of the toes of the left foot, and then sweep your attention out into the room and bring it to rest on your breath.
Alright, so there we have the body scan. So, out of curiosity, did anyone find that quite unpleasant? There's usually a few people, yeah. There seems to be something, sorry, I just noticed a message has popped up. My internet connection is unstable. It was playing up last night as well. Well, we'll just have to hang in there and hope it stays running for the rest of the session. Yeah, the body scan can be quite an unpleasant experience for a number of reasons. It can be unpleasant because you're having to move at someone else's pace, in which case, if you guide it yourself, then yeah, that won't be an issue. It can be unpleasant because it takes a long time and you have to go really slow. Yeah, you have to go really slow if you want to do it, unfortunately, but you may get used to it. It can be unpleasant because it can bring stuff up, it can trigger things as we go through the body, and that actually seems to be quite helpful. As we repeatedly do the body scan, more and more of the body wakes up, and it seems like sometimes stuff that's locked into the body somehow can start to release itself. So yeah, along with the five daily reflections, we're also going to suggest that you do a body scan at least once per day. That could be for access concentration, it could be as an insight practice, whatever you want to do with it. But yeah, do have a play with this one. If you have a route that you like, then you're welcome to use that. As I said earlier, on the notice board, we're going to post the audio recording that we just used and also a link to a description of the route that they used. So you can go that way if you like to go that way. So how long should you spend on it? Well, it needs to be slow but not glacial. So if it takes you less than half an hour, yeah, that doesn't count. Do it again, do it slower. But if it takes more than an hour, then you're probably moving so slowly that it's not going to be that good for concentration. Basically, if you're taking that long over it, then probably things will just get a bit tired and slack. So that recording's about 45 minutes long. I guess Lee has a bit of explanation at the start, so maybe the body scan is something like 40 minutes long in there. And that's a good pace to do it. 40 to 50 minutes is, yeah, that's a nice pace for this practice. Noticed something has just arrived in the chat. Someone is asking, isn't that Chiladas's voice? No, that's Lee. That's Lee. That's Lee from 2007, which is why he sounds a bit different to Lee in 2023, but that is Lee's voice.